And now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for your prayers for me and my family during our vacation. We are well rested and refreshed, and it is great to be back with you in person and to be back with you online. We had time with extended family in Pittsburgh, and then Kim and I got to spend some time alone together in the mountains of North Georgia. On our vacation, there was a lot of reading. There was a little bit of golf. There was tons of sleep. We were very disciplined in our avoidance of cell phones and social media during our vacation, and that helped lead to truly restful sleep. We also got some time at the beach, reading and experiencing the waves and the surf and the wind and the sun. You know, it's so much fun to watch other people wrangling their children in the sand. The fearlessness of toddlers as they wander into the ocean is amazing. It doesn't take much water to disrupt and knock over a child, and very little water is necessary for a child to drown. But many parents will let the waves surprise the children before they scoop them up. The parents are always right there. But it's so fun to watch. Watching real kids at the beach certainly beats watching Instagram posts and Facebook videos. In my final sermon before my vacation on July 4th, I left you all with a challenge to reflect on your own life and to reflect on your calling as a disciple of Jesus. I told you that I would be doing the same thing, and I'm encouraged by the ways the Lord guided my time with Him. I found so much joy as I read, as I reflected, as I journaled, and as I learned more about my Lord and about myself and my working gifts and abilities and those things that aren't my strengths. That's important to remember when you look at life in Christ, that there truly are only three stages of that life in Christ. The first stage is being outside the kingdom. The second stage is being born anew or born again. And then the third stage is growing and maturing. Those are the three stages. Saying it a little differently, you're lost, you're outside of God's kingdom. Then you're in infancy as you're born anew. And then there's growth unto maturity. The truth is, faith never plateaus. It's either moving forward, growing stronger and deeper, or it's receding, slowing down, fading into nothingness. The current against us is simply too strong as we seek to follow Jesus. Once we're born again, we are moving against that current. If you choose not to invest in your spiritual life with Jesus, the world will slowly chip away your faith with distraction, with temptation. It will slowly move you back toward infancy. I'm 52, and I've been walking with Jesus for over 40 years, and I continue to learn and to grow and to change as I lean into the Lord, as I lean into His Word, and as I lean into and am impacted by His community and by His people. I love the fact that my relationship with the Lord is ever changing as I remain in His presence with His Word and His people. Truthfully, that's one of my greatest hopes for Church of the Redeemer. that it will be a church that shares a vibrant faith as we daily know Christ more deeply, as we grow together in faith and in love for one another, and then as we go together on mission into the world. And this is the same hope that Paul has for the first century church in Ephesus, a hope that we clearly heard in our reading today from Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your service leaflet, have it open to page 5, and if you have a pew Bible, you can turn to page 977. Or if you're at home, if you have your own Bible, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I'm only going to have 2 points for my sermon this morning. Calling and maturing. It's important to acknowledge Paul is writing this letter to Christians, to Jews and Gentiles living in the city of Ephesus who have already moved from being lost and outside the kingdom to being born anew into the kingdom that Jesus Christ initiated. In earlier chapters of this letter, Paul reminded those who were following Jesus, he reminded them of their conversions, that in Christ they have obtained an inheritance. That's chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, Paul reminds them that they were dead in their sins, separated from Christ, before they were reconciled to Jesus by faith, before they were born anew and made alive by their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul reminds his Christian readers who they were before Christ. You were dead in your sin. Who they are by their faith in Jesus. You are now alive with an inheritance. And he reminds them that in Christ, they all have a calling. Now, many Christians think of a calling as something possessed by those in full-time or ordained ministry. Calling meaning a new mission to serve God full-time. But the Greek words used here in verses 1 and verses 4 say it a little differently than that. In verse 1 and in verse 4, you have two words. The first is the verb kaleo, and the second is the related noun klesis. While they can be interpreted calling, they literally mean invitation. Invitation is a call that all Christians have responded to because they've responded to his invitation. If you have confessed your sins before Jesus Christ and by faith in him have received salvation and eternal life, then you have responded to his invitation. And so therefore, you have received his calling. You therefore are called by Jesus. You're invited to serve him as you are with the unique combination of personality and gifts and strengths and weaknesses and abilities that you possess. Speaking to each of you individually and to those of you that are online, you are either in one of those three phases. You're either still lost and outside of the kingdom, or you've responded to Jesus' invitation whereby you became an infant. You were born anew. Or you're growing in faith and responding to and walking in your calling. Now, this may all be new to you. You may have been living with an understanding that as a follower of Jesus, your role was simply to learn and to grow. While that's true, there's more to this calling that we have in Jesus Christ. In addition to learning and growing, you've received a calling to live differently and to serve within your Christian community. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verses 1 and 2, Paul reminds the Christians that they're to walk and live differently. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then he spells out how they're to live and to walk. With all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love with other brothers and sisters in Christ, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now I ask you, is your life marked by these qualities? It's important to acknowledge these are qualities intended to be exercised within community, with others. So to possess these qualities, you must be engaged with a Christian community. This doesn't happen in isolation. Then in verse 11, Paul goes on to name some of the roles that Christians will fulfill. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Taking a look at these various roles, again, they aren't individual or self-centered, but they're communal. You can't be a shepherd alone. You're just a man or a woman standing there. A shepherd by nature is in community. An apostle by nature is involved in community, and so on. Take a look at verse 12. So some are called to these roles. Verse 12, for the reason to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. These roles are designed for community and relationship with others to help others to grow as we grow together to build up the body of Christ. Your response to Christ's invitation means you've received his calling to live differently as his disciple and to participate and serve within your faith community. And that's our first point, calling. We now move to our second point, maturity. Responding to Jesus' invitation and receiving his calling, that's just the beginning. Once you are in the kingdom of God, you are then expected to grow and mature. There isn't a choice there. It's an expectation. You each have a calling to participate in the equipping, of other church members, verse 12, which then moves to verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all followers of Jesus are expected to mature into what's translated here, mature manhood. Literally, it means to a full-grown man. Or to say it another way, to full maturity. Now, maturity doesn't simply mean longevity, that one has been following Jesus for a long time. Think about our world and your own circles of influence and the people that you know. There are many full-grown men and women around us that lack maturity. Being old in the faith doesn't equate to Paul's picture of maturity. Paul has a very precise picture of maturity, and we read that in verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So Paul sees those who've responded to Jesus' invitation first as little children, literally infants, who will be, as we discussed earlier in my message when I reflected on vacation, infants are easily disrupted by just the smallest wave or wind. It doesn't take much to knock them off their feet. And Paul mentions winds of doctrine. Doctrine here literally meaning teaching or instruction. All those who are born again, infants in faith, will be taught and instructed by other believers. And Paul reminds them, there will be false teaching, misleading teaching. The words used here in the Greek literally mean trickery, treachery, and deceit. Can that be any more clear? And this is a reminder that I need to hear regularly, and that you all need to hear, that you need to be in community with one another, and that you're expected not just to be a follower of Jesus, but to mature, to grow to full maturity, so that you might resist the wind and the waves, the false teaching from false teachers and from the non-Christian culture and the world around you. That's the current that's going to seek to disrupt you, knock you off your foundation, and pull you back. And this reminder is that we need one another. In community, we're going to stumble and fall. We all know, we live in Florida, we know that there are wind and waves that will knock even fully grown men and women off their feet. Even on the calmest day, you can have a big wave that can knock someone off their feet. We need one another to be there to hold each other, to help us regain our footing when we slip. And it's not just about you needing someone. Someone else needs you. You must, as a follower of Jesus, grow to maturity and be engaged with community. Paul paints the picture then of a body, verse 16, where Christ is the head, from whom the whole body, every little part, is held together and equipped, working together as the whole body grows and is built up in the love of Jesus. Every member is important, whether you're a toe or an ear or a forehead or a shoulder or an arm. It doesn't matter. The body doesn't function unless every member, which means everyone who's called, which means every one of you if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not growing in faith, you're shrinking. The current in the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's too strong. If you're not engaged with community, you will be too easily knocked off of your foundation. If you're not within your community serving as you're equipped and called, if you're not growing together in your different roles as Christ Church, then you will be shrinking. And as we think about this participation in Christ's body, it doesn't matter how old you are. There is this thought in our culture that when you get to a certain point, I'm done. It's time for someone else to do that. But if you've been called unto maturity, the only finish line is meeting Jesus face to face. So the finish line is death. If you're not dead, then you remain under Christ's invitation and Christ's calling to be engaged with community and to grow to full maturity. And I assure you, you're not dead yet. This coronavirus season has disconnected us from one another. It's isolated us from community, and it's going to be a challenge to reconnect. We all have different challenges in this season. Habits are hard to break. Fear is hard to overcome. I echo Paul's words, and I challenge every one of you to take time this week to continue to evaluate your life. If today you're outside of the kingdom, I hope you've heard the good news that there is new life in Jesus Christ. There's new life only available through confession of sin and restoration by his resurrection. And in that new life, you will have purpose that you can't find in the world. I hope you're challenged to evaluate your life if you're outside of the kingdom. If you are born anew, born again with faith in Jesus Christ, I challenge you to evaluate your life, whether you're moving forward in faith or backward, whether you're continuing to mature in your faith, and whether you're serving, actively participating in the body of Christ as a functional member of his body. I want to close with a prayer. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, mold and shape and transform your people. Give us the strength to resist the patterns and currents and temptations of this world, that we might follow you, that we would hear your voice, that we would be changed as we grow into full maturity, and that we would serve you as functional members of your body for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.